X-Men Up, hour number two here on 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. If you're looking for Jake, he'll be on 94.9 in about 45 minutes to call Vandy women as they take on Alabama State for their education game. Hopefully they don't score 67 points, because it will deafen half of Nashville. So, I am here, Connor Newt. Nick Frazier is here, Parker Kelly behind the glass, talking a little bit of coaching carousel, which has quickly become my favorite topic. It was a college football video game for a long time, and now that that's been out for a while, this is more fun. So, we've kind of hit on James Franklin, what a successful season for him looks like. Now that he's at Virginia Tech, what are some of the open jobs, open possibilities across the nation? A texter threw out an interesting name during the break. Tommy on our text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, don't forget Jimbo Fisher is out there. Jimbo, I think, is a has-been. I don't think anyone wants to take a chance on Jimbo Fisher, because he's similar to Dabo Swinney, in my opinion, in that he can't really access the portal. He's a part of that older generation of coaches that the game has kind of passed them by. I would not, and he's going to ask for a lot of money too. I would not go after Jimbo Fisher if I'm one of these big-time jobs.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. Jimbo Fisher, great coach in his day. We get all that. It's more of Jimbo Fisher, and you made a good point, NIL, all that stuff. I think it may have passed him, but I don't know if the coaching, his style, I don't know if it really sticks in today's college football.
It's too conservative.
Yeah.
And college football has become very quickly up-tempo offenses. Look at some of these G5 programs.
In the backyard, Tennessee.
Yeah, Heupel. Tennessee. Up-tempo. Vanderbilt, down the street. Up-tempo. Yeah. I mean, they run the clock out, but they run a high-tempo offense when they're actually running plays. Yeah. It has quickly become a trend. I don't know if Jimbo matches that. So that's just kind of how I feel about Jimbo Fisher. Let me ask you about one guy that's getting a lot of love, and he's semi-local. Ryan Silverfield at Memphis. I could see him sneaking into a job like Arkansas or Auburn, or I don't think he can land the big one like Florida or LSU, but I could see him slipping into an Arkansas or an Auburn or UCLA or something like that.
You made a great point in talking about Arkansas. Arkansas is a team kind of like the James Franklin situation. You're in the area. You already recruit in that, you know, jurisdiction. Might as well, you know, go to a bigger school that's a Power Four team, mm-hmm, and try and elevate your play a little bit. Elevate your coaching status and see if you can bring some of those guys you recruit at the Memphises of the world and see, hey, maybe we can actually get something going here in the SEC. Because we all know the SEC is a tough conference to play in. Like I said, mm-hmm, they are the two big brothers to the little brother of the ACC.
I really like Ryan Silverfield. Yeah. He's done a lot at Memphis. Obviously, I don't know if they're going to compete for a playoff spot this year. It's kind of between them and USF in the American, and both of them keep dropping games. So I don't know how that's going to shake out, but he's won there. And he's kind of, I don't want to say made Memphis relevant, but made them one of the upper echelon teams in the group of five. And as we're pointing out to you, Frazier, group of five is people too.
Hey, I'm not neglecting. I went to school at a group of five school, MTSU down the road. Yeah. I'm not neglecting it at all.
Yeah.
Division three players are players too.
Okay, now that, yeah, I'll get on that. Yeah, you're right.
Film coordinators are people, too. High school film coordinators are
all right,
people,
now
too.
We're getting in the weeds here. All right,
come on, man. That was me.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not if they're at FRA.
I wasn't at FRA. Well, I was last year, but.
Okay,
good. Not if they're at JP2.
Yeah.
All right, easy.
Don't disrespect the Knights, pal.
Now he's getting into that division.
Now you're getting, yeah, now you're crossing the
Father
line.
Father Ryan's good, though.
We're not.
Are you trying to initiate a war here on the program?
We're not getting into this. We're not getting into this at all.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's get to some of your calls. Dr. Locke on our phone line. Dr. Locke, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
I would in the last A or B, I would probably lean more Father Ryan. I'm more of a Father Ryan guy.
I like that, Doctor. Great answer.
No, I tell you what you guys touched on, just to tag on a few things. Jimbo Fisher, I don't think he's done. I mean, I could see him landing the Arkansas job. And Arkansas is desperate enough that they need a name, and he's a name at least. I mean, he's not, you know, hasn't done anything in a while. But still, Jimbo Fisher, everybody knows him. No one really knows of Arkansas. I think Jimbo could and they have the pockets to pay him. I think he could make an Arkansas relevant. As far as James Franklin, I know Parker Kelly. He's from that area like I am. I went to Kellam High School at Virginia Beach, but he's got to be happy with that hire, because James Franklin, to all his shortcomings, winning the big game, the one strength that he can hang his hat on is recruiting. They recruit from that same area, and Virginia Tech has not got the recruits in the last 4 years. That's why they've fallen off. And Penn State, I mean, they were loaded on paper. He just didn't execute it. And they had injuries, and that's a whole different story. But he'll recruit well enough to get them back to being relevant. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Dr. Locke. A lot of interesting points there.
No, but to answer his last point when he posed the question, I 100% agree. I think he can recruit that team back into relevancy.
Yeah, I agree with him on some level. Talk to someone from like 2014 and tell them, yeah, Arkansas is going to land a coaching tandem of Jimbo Fisher and John Calipari. How would they feel about that? I agree with him on some level. I think Jimbo would be an outside-the-box candidate for one of those smaller jobs like that.
Right.
I would anticipate for Arkansas, maybe like Parker and I talk about John Gruden all the time. I think he would do well there. Ryan Silverfield, we were just talking about. Yeah. I wouldn't anticipate them going for the big money home run hire, at least in their eyes. But I see what Dr. Locke is saying there. I understand it. That's just not what I would do, but I don't make those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, again, to his question, I'm all about the James Franklin train and how he's going to revolutionize that team through recruiting. That's his strong
suit. Yeah, that was a great point.
And Dr. Locke made a good point about how they looked great on paper. Penn State looked great on paper, but can he do that at Virginia Tech? And I think he can, because that's more of his wheelhouse of the heart of the recruiting there. Now,
yeah.
I do have something, and if you're cool with it, I'm going to tease it here. There are a lot of big-name coaches that are using the wrong route of Power 5 schools to coach. They need to be going somewhere else.
Okay.
I can tell you that on the other side.
Okay. We'll do that on the other side.
Kenny the Mailman, stick with us.
Kenny the Mailman, we love you. Stick with us. We'll get to you on the other side. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. We'll do that next. Coming up here on Next Man Up, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game. He kept turning my mic. Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier here with you, talking a little coaching carousel. And Nick Frazier, before we get to your interesting idea, we'll go back to our phone lines. Welcome in our good buddy Kenny the Mailman, who has been waiting very patiently on the phone lines. Kenny, good morning.
Hello, good friends. How are y'all doing?
We're doing well.
First of all, Dr. Locke called a minute ago before the commercial. He had a great call. I wasn't familiar with his name, but I hope he calls in more. He did a good job. Has he been calling?
He has. That was actually a positive Dr. Locke call. Usually he calls in to argue with us about SEC versus Big Ten, but I'm glad we got some positivity out of him today.
Well, that's good, too. There's fun both ways.
Right.
Listen, I don't know a whole lot about Virginia Tech, but I was able to listen to a great interview last evening Parker Kelly was a part of with the Virginia Tech reporter in that area.
Mm.
And if you really think about it, the position Virginia Tech was in, they were disgruntled with their coaching staff going into the season. Y'all knew that, right?
Yes.
Before the season, if you'd have told them, if we snapped our fingers and traded staffs with Penn State, how would y'all feel? and they would have gone nuts. Because not only is this a Franklin hire, he's going to bring like 9 or 10 of his assistants, plus the recruiting. They said he is a recruiting expert from that area that Virginia Tech has not done a good job in. Plus, 5 or 6 Penn State players have already said they are looking into going to Virginia Tech. This is not going to be a long process at all of being 3 years to rebuild. I don't think they could have done a better job of hiring a coach.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that, Kenny. You're absolutely right on that. The only issue I would have with Virginia Tech is the longevity. Kind of what Connor and I were talking about earlier, the longevity of, you know, if the 9-3s end up working out. We had a texter say, is the success going to work? Like, after 9-3, is there going to be a plateau where people are going to be frustrated about it? And I think there will be.
I'm sure there will be, but you have a couple of 4-8 seasons, all of a sudden 9-3 looks awesome. That's sort of, I get a little ticked off with people who say, well, we can't go much further. We can't go much further. Just remember back to the 4-8 days and enjoy some of these bowl games.
Absolutely.
Listen, y'all have a great afternoon. We'll be listening all day long to 102.5.
Thank you, Kenny. We appreciate the call. Sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties over here.
Yeah, microphone's not being kind today.
It's not being very nice to me.
Oh, well. But no, to Kenny's point real quick, like, the biggest thing in college football, you got to have that coach that can get you to the next step. I think that's what he was getting to as
Yeah,
well.
And I think James Franklin might be that guy. So you had an interesting idea you teased before we went to break.
Yep.
Care to share?
Yes. All these coaches in Ed Orgeron's, the John Gruden's of the world, Lane Kiffin. Actually, you know what? Lane Kiffin is the prime example of what I'm about to explain.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to go to a Power 5 school and be great. Dan Mullen and Lane Kiffin are both examples of it. Dan Mullen's an example of it right now. Go to a G5 school, recruit out the wazoo, and get a really good team together, and you're always going to be in the talks for a college football playoff bid. Sure, your chances are smaller, but if you know you can dominate your schedule and go undefeated or lose one game in G5 scheduling, you're in the playoff mm-hmm. as that auto bid at 12. Lane Kiffin didn't go to the playoff, but FAU, he had a lot of success there. Dan Mullen is having success at UNLV. They've kind of squandered their chance a little bit. I mean, they've lost, what, 2 games? I mean, they're still in the running for the Mountain West, but it's mm-hmm. just you're going to have to let the rest of the season play out.
So what you're saying is you don't have to go to a Power 5 or Power 4 conference school to be a successful coach.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you have the right, let's say, manager in some aspects and go, look, in my contract, do me a favor, and my agent to be like, do me a favor, if I make the college football playoff with this G5 school, give me this bonus. Give me this here. All these certain percentages, all these little nooks and crannies in the contract. If you're a good enough coach, you wouldn't turn that opportunity down. You just wouldn't.
Yeah. I think Lane Kiffin comes to mind for me as well because I'm going to lose a lot of respect for him if he leaves Ole Miss. I honestly think Ole Miss right now is a better job than Florida.
Oh, 100%.
It's not a better job than LSU, and that one to me would make more sense as to why he would leave, but I think he's got a good thing going at Ole Miss. I think he's got an opportunity similar to James Franklin in that he can go 9-3, 10-2, and squeeze into the college football playoff every year, and that fan base and that administration will be satisfied.
I think looking at Lane Kiffin's situation when it comes to Ole Miss, LSU, Florida, I look at it this way. LSU has a high standard of whoever we bring in has to be a national championship coach, caliber coach. Lane Kiffin is at that point a little bit. He's on the cusp of being a national championship.
He's capable of it.
Thank you. You look at a program like Florida, who have not seen a national championship in a long time. And it makes you wonder, they have a little bit more leeway when it comes to hiring a coach that can have, like you're talking about with Kiffin, have that pedigree of national championship status. So they have that grace period of like, yeah, you know what, let's get Lane Kiffin in here because he can get us to where we used to be in 2006 and 2008, 2009 when we had Tim Tebow. That's where I feel with the Kiffin hiring if it does happen with Florida.
I'm weird. I think Florida's going to go for that established national championship caliber coach. I think LSU just did that. So they're willing to go for the developmental guy, a successful G5 guy, or in my case, and a successful NFL coordinator. I think they're willing to do that because they have the resources and the ability to invest into that. Helps a lot when they have the recruiting that they have, the NIL funds, the Nike deals, the TV deals. They got a lot working in their favor. So LSU is still a national brand. That's why I think they're capable of making that choice and it paying off for them. Florida just tried to go that route, thinking they were the national brand that LSU was, and it obviously didn't work out for them because we're talking about them hiring a new coach right now. So
yeah.
I think Florida is going for the home run hire, national champion level coach. LSU, I think, is going for the best option as a future developmental coach as they can. And I say developmental, this isn't minor leagues. Whoever they bring in is going to be a qualified, capable coach. I say developmental because that means they have room to grow, and every coach has room to grow. But I say a guy with not as much head coaching experience, or a guy that has head coaching experience just at a lower level.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I go back to what I just mentioned earlier about the Power 4 and the G5 differences. I was raised a little – we're all raised the same in a roundabout way, but – from the way I look at it, I was raised in a bet on yourself type of guy.
Yeah, that, well, I was too.
Yeah, I obviously. So, like,
that's why we're here.
Exactly. If you bet on yourself as a coach and you know you can do what you can do, to me, that's why I see a G5 school more of an appealing job when it comes to trying to make the college football playoff. If you know you're an established, you know, coach. Now, I'm not saying Lane Kiffin needs to go to the G5, but I'm just saying coaches like an Ed Orgeron or whatever. But nonetheless, if a guy like Coach O were to go to the G5, he probably wouldn't take that job because he doesn't want to go down there. If
right.
That's the case. And he has a bad success there, or not any success, that is, then, yeah, he probably wouldn't make it back to the Power 4.
615-737-1025. Do I have this correct, Parker? Dr. Locke has called back.
Oh, he's called in with a vengeance.
Oh boy. Is it because I said his name and he appeared?
No, he doesn't like that you said he was negative.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Go ahead, Dr. Locke.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Hey.
I mean, absolutely negative. All I have to do sometimes when you guys get a little crazy and, you know, you guys want to have like 9 out of 12 SEC teams in the playoffs, and I got to call in and bring you guys back to reality and... But, you know, negative. No, not negative.
No, not negative. Negative was a poor choice of words for
constructive
you.
Constructive criticism.
Thank you.
I apologize.
Well, okay. But so I called in. Let's go the reverse on LSU. So Brian Kelly should have never been there. He was chasing a natty, thought he had a better chance in LSU than Notre Dame. If he could have done it over again, he definitely would have stayed probably at Notre Dame now with the playoff system and how easy it is for Notre Dame to get in. Everybody wants him there. But he was an Irish Catholic and Midwest is to Catholicism as SEC is to Baptist, and he's an Irish Catholic Midwest kind of coach. I think perfect fit. Brian Kelly is Penn State. He was known as a quarterback whisperer at Notre Dame. Should have never been down there. LSU, if you don't wear the colors and you weren't, you know, Bayou raised. LSU ex player, you've got a very short leash.
Yeah.
You slip up, you're gone. It played out. We saw it. So where does Brian Kelly go? Because Brian Kelly's probably the most capable coach out there. I'd love to have him in the Big Ten. He would go to Penn State and immediately have success at Penn State.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Locke. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think Brian Kelly does go to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I don't know if he lands Penn State, but I could see him landing two smaller jobs. One is, as Deshaun Foster put it, we're UCLA, we're in LA, we're across the street from USC. I could see him going to UCLA. The other one, they haven't fired their coach yet, but it's trending that way. Go green, go white. Michigan State. I think they're going to fire Jonathan Allen, and they're going to try and get a home run guy in there to rebuild that program. Because a lot of people forget, Michigan State was in a college football playoff a few years ago. They were one of the four. So, I think Brian Kelly is going to find his way into the Big Ten. That said, I think his reputation and kind of the things that are coming up now about him and what kind of a person he is are going to keep him out of a Penn State or one of those bigger jobs.
I'll say Michigan State is a harder sell for me just because of the recent probation they were put on. I think they got vacated 13.
That is right. Yeah, that was just a few days ago.
So it's a little tough to sell a job like that, but you make a great point in UCLA.
Yeah, I think I don't know. There's just something about that Western atmosphere. It's a program that I think he would be attracted to. They would pay him a lot of money, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would fit well there.
And two, and this is just my assessment of how football in general works. And honestly, in all professional sports and collegiate sports, anytime you're a coach that ends up failing on the East Coast and you go to the West Coast, somehow you resurge your career. And with the West Coast air, I don't know.
And he hasn't been out in the West Coast before.
Correct.
He's been a Midwest guy and then found his way to the South.
Which could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
A good thing in maybe he finds success out West, or a bad thing where he's not familiar with the area of recruiting and so forth, which makes him a little frustrated as a head coach.
Yeah. One more thing before we head to the break and mm-hmm. wrap up the college carousel talk. Distinguished gentleman on the YouTube chat disagrees with me and says, no way Ole Miss is a better job than Florida. Right now, I think it is. Well, Ole Miss is at national contendency right now. Lane Kiffin has proven that he is capable of getting them to relevancy over the past few years. They're getting recruits in. They've got arguably a Heisman capable quarterback right now in Trinidad Chambliss, and I realize he's going to be gone after this year. They've got uniforms. They've got, Oxford's not a big city. The only thing I think Florida has right now is donors and the city they're located in.
Yep.
But as long as Lane Kiffin is there, I think donors are going to come along. I think recruits are going to come along. And I think he has the capability of coaching them up to be a national contender every single year. So that's why I think Ole Miss is a better job for
it. It may be a better job, but when it comes
right now,
when it comes to Florida, there are more resources for Lane Kiffin.
Right.
100%.
I would agree with that. 615-737-1025 is the competition. The phone number if you want to chime in on the conversation. When we come back, we'll get into some actual games being played mm-hmm. in college football. Vanderbilt, big one tomorrow against a team that is just God's favorite team. I'm just kidding. They play Kentucky tomorrow at First Bank Stadium. I'm going to tell you why. I think it's a sneaky game
Ooh.
For the Wildcats. Coming up next, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. Nothing says WGF between us like our girl Tate McRae does. She's the best.
Nothing. Nothing says White Girl Friday.
I mean, if there's a Mount Rushmore of White Girl Friday, it's Tate McRae, Sabrina Carpenter. I would throw Madison Beer in there.
Big Time Rush. Big Time Rush.
Those are probably the four artists that just drive White Girl Friday. Welcome back in. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Sam Houston tomorrow at 2 p.m. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Let me also tell you, tomorrow's college football game of the week is my Kentucky Wildcats at number 14 Vanderbilt at 2:30 p.m. on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Kentucky and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and the Game Nashville.com. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier stepped out for just a second, so myself and Parker Kelly will keep you covered here shortly.
I guess we'll hold it down.
We'll hold it down.
We'll try not to get the show canceled.
We'll
in
try
the process.
Not to get it canceled. So, Vanderbilt in action tomorrow at First Bank Stadium to take on Kentucky. And look, on paper, Vanderbilt should handle business. I believe they're 8.5-point favorites at home over the Wildcats. That said, I will be the first one to tell you, Kentucky's playing some good ball right now. I don't think I'll preface this by saying I don't think they'll win the game. But I think they're capable of covering. I think Cutter Bowley is playing his best football right now, the quarterback for Kentucky. And if you're unfamiliar, he is a kid from the state. He is a Mark Stoops recruit, and he has kind of come in this season as they originally started Zach Calzada. Calzada sucked. He didn't get his money up.
He's flexing his money.
He's flexing his money. And Garrett, since you don't got your own money, you can count mine. Don't lose count. It's a fantastic video. Anyways, Cutter has stepped in. He has delivered. He is truly looking like the franchise, but the cornerstone quarterback of the program moving forward, which is exactly what has saved Mark Stoops' job. I think they're playing great football right now on both sides of the ball. You look at between the two losses of Ole Miss and Texas, it was a combined 10 points. They are 10 points away from having a completely different season than the one they have right now. That said, I think they're playing with their lives on the line as they're looking for bowl eligibility. If they beat one of Vanderbilt and Louisville, they are going bowling. If they beat both, they're going 7-5 in a year they were picked to finish second to last in the SEC.
Oh, I remember. I remember when those conversations were had.
Yeah.
I was one of them that participated in that.
I was one of them that participated.
But that was also because I thought Zach Calzada would be the starting quarterback for the entire year, which is not
right.
The truth.
Right, and he hasn't been. Cutter has come in, and much to the pleasure of QB Vision, he has delivered. So, I think this is a sneaky game if you're Vanderbilt. I think this is a trap game. You've got Tennessee next week, and that's a rival. As Parker's flexing the QB Vision, baby. Let's go. I think this is a trap game for Vanderbilt. They've got Tennessee next week. And look, they got to win out if they want to make the CFP. That's just the bottom line. Obviously, they're going to need help. But the only thing they can control is their own destiny. They've got to win out. So maybe that gets into their heads. Again, I don't think Kentucky is going to win the game. I think they have the opportunity to cover. But I think this is a trap game. I think Kentucky's playing some good defense. I think they're clicking on offense for some reason. Vanderbilt is a good team, a very good team. But I think this is just a trap game for them. 615-737-1025. Resident Wildcat fan, Dustin in Hopkinsville, says that was the whole issue. The QB went down. We put in our raw freshman, and it took time, but he's coming around.
No, Cutter looks incredible for Kentucky.
Yeah.
He looks really, really good.
And look, I still think Stoops is maybe not the answer long-term at coaching for Kentucky, but I think he saved his job this season. Similar to Billy Napier last year, he put in DJ Lagway, and that kind of saved his job. Stoops put in Cutter Bowley this year, and I think that's kind of turned their season around. The big win over Auburn, and I realize that's not necessarily a huge win to hang your hat on, but that turned their season around. Then they go out the next week and beat Florida by a hefty margin. And then they handle business against Tennessee Tech. Now they're looking at one win away from being bowl eligible. They've got momentum on their side. And I think it's just, you know, it's going to be a trap game. It's going to be something you're looking at. Our buddy Trey has called in. Let's go to the phone lines, hear what he's got to say. Trey, good morning.
Morning, how y'all doing?
We're doing well.
Hey, I just want to say a couple things as far as Cam Ward, as far as his mental progression. I firmly believe that we have to just stop trying to say what he did in college and, you know, the steps that he, you know, was able to, who he was supposed to be in college. Because the NFL is a totally different animal. It's like you have to, like, reinvent who you are as a player that has – he doesn't have limited ability, but he has some real, real bad limited ability. And I just say that to say this. He has to transcend mentally because I feel like that – you know, Jimi Hendrix didn't become Jimi Hendrix overnight. He played in the back of a doo-wop band. You know, Martin Luther King didn't become Martin Luther King overnight. Cam Ward is not going to become the Cam Ward NFL player overnight. You know, and he needs some work. His physical ability, you know, my son, 13 years old, is Jeffrey Simmons' size. He plays football right now on the line at East Cheatham. He's the biggest kid in school. And he's learning tape right now to where he'll be able to do things, you know, in the long run. But Cam, he has the ability. I just wish he would get things, you know, right mentally, and that would transcend throughout the team, with the coaches, with Mike McCoy. Everybody will be happy, but it starts with him, you know. So that's what I got, guys, and y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Y'all doing a good job today.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Trey, for
way to read the room, Trey.
For introducing some Cam Ward hate in the middle of a college football segment. I really appreciate it.
So what'd I miss?
We're just
Cam Ward's a bust, and the Titans need to trade
Cam
him.
Cam Ward's a bust, and the Titans need to trade him, even though we're talking about Vanderbilt, Kentucky. But I appreciate the call.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the words of encouragement.
Cool.
Here we go. I've been waiting for this one. We're talking about Kentucky-Vanderbilt.
Oh, yes.
Our good friend Dustin in Hopkinsville is on the line to give us a little preview. Dustin, what's up, buddy?
Good morning. I mainly just called to tell Trey to read a damn room. We're talking about my Wildcat.
I mean, I didn't want to be rude. I just let him finish.
But I did. That was the body bag, so call the corner.
All right.
No, guys, I respect Vandy a lot, and I've been rooting for him. But today, or this weekend, I got to go with my Cats. I kind of want y'all to beat us because I want y'all to go to down there, wherever the hell the Vols play.
Neyland.
Yeah, Neyland. Yeah, it's forgettable for me. So. But I want to see that be a good game, not just I want to have it some meaning. But I got to root for my Wildcats, and they're playing good, so they actually are something to root for. But yeah, Trey, it's the rerun every day. You hate Cam Ward, he sucks. Mike McCoy, this, the line that. Hey man, read the room. See y'all.
Thanks, Dustin. Yeah, I mean, I don't condone Trey hate because I think he's a good person, but to his credit, read the room, pal.
Hey.
I'm here to talk about what you want to talk about, not what I want to talk about.
I guess I missed the whole Vandy-Kentucky conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking about how this is kind of a sneaky game for Vanderbilt. I think this is kind of a trap situation.
You really think so?
They've got Tennessee next week.
Even with Pavia being possibly his last home game? I mean,
that plays a factor. It's senior day. This is probably the last time Vanderbilt's going to play in First Bank Stadium. If they make the playoff, they're probably going on the road.
Yeah.
So I just think there's a lot of factors that play into this one. You've got Tennessee next week. You've got to win out if you want to make the college football playoff. Obviously, you need some help, too, but the only thing they can control is winning out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kentucky's playing good football right now. Cutter Bowley's a good quarterback. I think Stoops has saved his job through Cutter.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some big win. Maybe not on, you know, resume standpoint, but for the sake of the program, Kentucky's got big wins. I mean, they've kind of turned it around. Big win over Auburn. Massive win over Florida. They just blew them out. And then they handled business last week against Tennessee Tech.
Tight game with Texas. Can't forget about that.
Yeah, I was just saying that. Between the Ole Miss loss and the Texas loss, a combined 10 points. So they are 10 points away from having a completely different season than the one they're having right now. That said, if Kentucky wins one of the next two games, they're going bowling.
Yeah.
So they're playing for a lot. Vanderbilt obviously playing for a lot too, playing for a spot in the college football playoff, which is much more than the Gasparilla Bowl, but
not more than the Pop-Tarts Bowl though.
Well, unfortunately, the Pop-Tarts Bowl only carries Big Ten versus ACC, or I'm sorry, Big 12 versus ACC.
It's hands down my favorite bowl game outside of the Rose Bowl.
Oh,
those are my two favorite bowl games.
Yeah, those are by far my two too. So I don't know where you stand on this, Frazier. I'm just kind of on the, I wouldn't pick Kentucky to win. I'd pick them to cover, but this could be a trap.
Look, Vanderbilt has proved the nation wrong all year long. Why would this game be any different?
Right.
That's what I'm trying to wrap my head around. People that are saying, oh, this could be a little bit of a trap game. It could be maybe Kentucky's day on Saturday.
Maybe it's Big Blue homerism.
Maybe. I don't know. But, like, looking at the way Vanderbilt plays against these smaller teams, if they want to have a true – I guess, resume for the college football playoff, they have to take care of business against Kentucky.
Agreed.
Meaning they have to win like 31-13 or 31-10. Kind of what
margin
they did.
Of victory.
Yeah, kind of what they did with Virginia Tech a little bit in South Carolina. Like, those are games where you have to put up 30, 40 points on teams that are at the bottom of the totem pole. You just can't be playing with your food too much. You know, that's kind of what I have a feeling with Vanderbilt is when they're in a key position in the season, they cannot be playing with their food. Simple as that.
Agree.
The run game has been real good for them all season long. They're, I mean, we've seen what Eli Stowers can do, and that's something that, you know, is something you got to keep your eye on for sure.
Yeah.
That we saw in the Texas game when they were down by a lot, there were things, maybe you call it garbage time touchdowns or garbage time yards, whatever, but the way Vanderbilt was moving the ball in that Texas game, you kind of hope that's what happens in the Kentucky game this Saturday.
I agree with you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you've got thoughts on the matchup this week. We'll continue to take your thoughts and more insight on the Vanderbilt-Kentucky game coming up next here on Next Man Up. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game. Oh, I feel like I know this. Who is this?
Addison Rae.
Oh, that is the ultimate white girl. Although I think she changed her name. She's just Addison now.
Oh, I would have never known that.
I just saw it on TikTok. Anyways, welcome back in. Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game. If you're looking for Jake Lyman, he is on the air over on 94.9 The Fan right now, calling Vanderbilt women's basketball as they take on Alabama State in an education game.
So Alabama.
Alabama. So that's where he is right now. So we're talking about Vanderbilt and Kentucky. I think it is a trash. It is a trap game. I'm curious of your thoughts on the text line, 615-737-1025. Scott on the text line says, calling this game a trap game for Vanderbilt is ridiculous in my opinion. Literally everything on the line and only two games left. This game means just as much as next week's game. There is no trap. I see what you're saying there. I agree with you. They are playing for everything on the line at this point in the season. If you win out and you get the help you need, you are probably in the college football playoff, which is historical for this program. And honestly, this is the first time in my lifetime and maybe in history we can truly say that Vanderbilt football controls their own destiny here. However, I think that if you look at the matchup and look at the team Vanderbilt has compared to the team Kentucky has, I think it could be considered a trap game because Vanderbilt is going to go into this game expecting to win. Kentucky is going to go into this game expecting to shock the world, put on the upset, clinch bowl eligibility, while Vanderbilt is playing for their season. I mean, I understand. Maybe it's only a trap game from the perspective of the Blue fans. Maybe you're right. Vanderbilt playing for everything on the line. Kentucky playing for bowl eligibility. But the way I see it, I think Vanderbilt may be looking ahead to next week's matchup. That's a game they've been talking about all season. Diego Pavia has talked the talk. It'll be time to walk the walk next week. It's a rivalry game. You're in one of the hardest places to play in the entire country in Neyland Stadium. I feel like this is a trap game. It's just, I don't know. Maybe Vanderbilt doesn't consider it a trap game, but I feel like I do. I feel like a lot of the nation would. A trap game to me is you're looking ahead to a game that is arguably more bigger than the current game you're playing right now. Kentucky should not beat Vanderbilt by any means necessary. They should not beat Vanderbilt. But what if they do? What if they go in and do? Because Vanderbilt is looking ahead to the future, looking ahead to Tennessee, looking ahead to the college football playoff. And I understand when you're a good team like Vanderbilt is, you go in expecting to win every game. I understand that. But this is a game next week against Tennessee that has been talked about all year. We have talked about the scenario that what if Vanderbilt has to win against Tennessee to go into the college football playoff? That is the definition of a trap game, because we've been talking about this all year. Next week, Vanderbilt has the opportunity to go to the college football playoff by beating Tennessee, a game that they've been talking about all year. And I just feel like this is a trap game. A lot of you disagree with me, and that's okay.
I strongly disagree.
That's okay.
As I'm back.
That's okay.
This is a Vanderbilt team that's put together way better than Kentucky right now. Sure, Kentucky's probably trying to end out their season on a high note, but as for Vanderbilt, they have a lot to play for as well. And, you know, when you try to play spoiler, which is what Tennessee's going to do next week,
mm-hmm.
you look at a team in Vanderbilt where
they're playing two teams that are trying to play spoiler.
Correct. And that's always a tough back-to-back type thing, especially one that's a rivalry game and the other one's just, you know, one of those local, you know, I wouldn't say rivalry games, but a local game where it means a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a border war.
Yeah, the border war, exactly. So you got to put that into a factor, but you also have to look at it as if Vanderbilt ends up winning against Kentucky and you have one or two of those dominoes fall in the top 12, then you're playing for something.
Yeah.
You're really playing for something.
I think we have different definitions of the term trap game.
Yeah.
The way I see it, Vanderbilt's been looking ahead to this game next week all year. Kentucky's coming in trying to beat you. And look, Vanderbilt, I understand, goes into every game being the team that they are expecting to win. That's just the mentality they have and the mentality Clark Lee has instilled. They're going to come into this one expecting to win too. Kentucky's coming in expecting to play spoiler and knock you out of the college football playoff. That's a trap, in my opinion.
That's fair.
Quickly, let's go to our phone lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, again, 615-737-1025. Welcome in George to the program. George, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to mention, and this is the first time I've heard his name mentioned in the last conversation here, the coach at Vanderbilt, Clark Lee, has his team so well coached and well-grounded, they've certainly heard the narrative about a trap game. And I think you said, you mentioned recently, they go into every game expecting to win. Yes, they're confident, but they play the game one at a time. It's the way they're coached. They're just so grounded that, yeah, I mean, you can call it a trap game because it's obvious that Tennessee's next week, and everybody's looking forward to that. But I just like the way these guys are such mature football players. They expect to win because they know how to win now. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, thanks, George. I appreciate the call. I appreciate the point. I think it's a fair point. And look, maybe trap game is more of a fan perspective than a player and coach perspective. He's right. Coaches and players take games one at a time. But I'm just saying, I'm making the argument for the sake of making the argument. But I do truly believe it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I think a lot of players that play in college football and even professionals, they know trap games can kind of get in your head psychologically.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the factor.
I have no doubt that Clark Lee is going to say, guys, this team wants to beat you. We'll worry about next game. We'll focus on this one right now. And again, I preface this conversation by saying I think Vanderbilt is going to win this game. I think Kentucky may cover, but I think Vanderbilt is going to win this game. I'm just saying, there are a lot of things riding on Vanderbilt right now. Kentucky doesn't have as much to lose as Vanderbilt does. So
Very true.
I'm thinking maybe that gets into their head a little bit.
I'm just in a different category of all this. I think Vanderbilt, I wouldn't say blows them out of the water, but definitely puts up.
But you know what I appreciate about this? This is respectful debate.
Sure.
From me, between me and you, between me and the text line.
No, Connor, you're dead wrong.
Yeah.
Get off the air.
Yeah, get off the air. Look, this is my first argument with the text line, so I appreciate it being a healthy debate. 615-737-1025 is the phone line. We'll continue the conversation coming up next. Plus, got a little bit of Preds thoughts to get into. We'll do that coming up next. Here on Next Man Up, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game.